Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. You got a treat, folks, as we've had many times before. And now in our 13th year, Tim Berry is, we've already celebrated his 12th anniversary. And we're moving into the 13th year now officially today. Tim is an original member of the Brain Trust. He's the founder of Palo Alto Software. He's the author of a number of books on business planning, including the 21st century version that I'm very excited about, the Plan As You Go business plan. And of course, the product they make is Palo, is the is Business Plan Pro, which he started from scratch one of those many years ago. And he's our good friend, Tim Berry. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Jim. That's a nice introduction. And yeah, that's many years ago is a scary thought.
Well, you know, can you still remember you still remember the whole cloth you started from, don't you? I mean, you remember those days well. I know, because those are the kind of days that are seared in your memory.
Yeah, you do keep those. The Business Plan Pro is now in its 15th anniversary edition, which gives you some idea. But, of course, those memories are fundamental, sort of like, here is the history of this company. And I enjoy them.
Yeah, well, it's a great American story, and of course we've been tracking it now for over 12 years, and we're glad to be doing that. Tim, one of the things that I know you want to talk about today is to continue basically some discussions that we've been having about the angel investor environment,
yes.
And some of the things you're doing. You're actually leading an angel group, aren't you?
Yes, I am. We have a group of about 25 to 30. Investors called the Willamette Angel Conference.
Now, in case there's somebody who just, you know, kind of beamed in from Mars or somewhere, remind the audience what an angel investor is.
Isn't that a funny phrase? I have to say, the angel investors are people who invest in startup companies. To distinguish them from venture capitalists, angel investors are using their own money and investing their own money. So they're not like professional full-time investors of other people's money.
And right. Like a venture capital fund.
The venture capitalists have hundreds of millions of dollars to invest that they collect from, like insurance funds and different university foundations.
And they're professional investors.
And they are paid full-time. Their job is to invest other people's money. Angel investors, the main distinguishing difference is angel investors are investing their own money.
Mm-hmm.
Directly.
And over the years, angel investors, they still do, will invest individually. That angel investor, that company, they put the money in, and et cetera, et cetera. But over the last few years, there have been some consortiums. There have been some aggregation of angels in groups. There's a group in my area. I was talking to a guy yesterday about that group. You've got a group out there in Oregon where you are. They're collecting themselves together, and they're becoming smarter and a little more organized, and they're sharing the risk and the reward, aren't they?
Yes. And this group phenomenon is for real. There's a software company called angelsoft.net that offers a platform for these groups, and that company is talking
angelsoft.net.
Angelsoft.net.
Okay.
That company is talking about a significant increase over time with the angel investors.
That sounds like something you should have created, Tim.
Oh, well, we have enough to do with our own software. Angelsoft.net is pretty neat, but the point that you make, they show up in their data, too, that there is this trend for local groups that are getting together, like ours. We're typical 30 people, and we invest our own money, but we do collect as a group, and we analyze companies and study them as a group, and then the investment doesn't go to a bunch of them. The investment goes to one company.
Right. And then it allows, it actually, in some of the cases I know, it also allows you to become an angel investor with less of a of an investment than you would have if you were doing it individually. Because one of the worst things you can do, the only thing worse than not getting the capital for a company, is undercapitalizing that company.
And yes, it gives us a chance to have a significant role in helping a company that's very interesting start. So it gives us a chance to have an investment that might be a good investment in a way that you couldn't do. I couldn't afford as an individual to put $150,000
right
into a company.
Right, but if you could put 50 and the person took your 50, a company that might have succeeded with 150 might fail with only 50. And so that's the reason why undercapitalizing is probably more dangerous than not getting the capital. Quick break, right back with Tim Berry. I'm Jim Blasingame. More to come on getting yourself ready for angel investors. Stay with us, Twain Tail. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of stuff there. Subscribe to my newsletter, my blog post. The new one up there is on online data backup. Some of my thoughts on that and on my experiences as well, and maybe even a recommendation. So check that out at smallbusinessadvocate.com, the blog and the newsletter right there, handy, the articles, the archives, the knowledge base, askjim.biz, all that stuff is there. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Tim Berry is our guest. He's the founder of Palo Alto Software. He's the author of the Plan As You Go business plan. His company makes Business Plan Pro, which I've been telling you about for a long time. Tim, we're talking about angel investors, how to get your... What we want to talk about right now is how do you get your business, how do you make it attractive to angel investors to consider, and how is that different from if I'm trying to go for venture capital? Tell us about that.
Well, you know, Jim, what I might say about that is the first step is a real cold, clear look at, do I want to build my business with outside investors?
Yeah, you got to ask that question first, isn't it?
A lot of companies ought not to do that. And Palo Alto Software, for example, grew. We were 15 years old before we had outside investors, because only some companies that are looking seriously at being able to grow fast and then sell out are able to offer an attractive investment deal to investors.
One thing we know about investors, they want that's consistent with, I can't imagine this not being consistent with every investor, every outside unrelated investor. They all want to know what the exit strategy is.
Yes, because it's about exit, whereas with a lot of good, solid businesses, it's not about the exit. It's about growing internally and being strong. And that's the first
thing. And providing a living and wealth development for the owner. And I love what I'm doing, and I'll quit when I die, or I'll quit when I can sell it and retire. But that's 20, 30 years from now. Investors' horizons are shorter than that.
And one of the first things I see as I move from company founder, entrepreneur, over to investor is that too many people are submitting for investment companies that really aren't looking for an exit and aren't really a good offer for investors. You have to have, I mean, going back to your question, what makes an investor interested? What kind of a company? You have to have an exit strategy. You have to have a management team that's credible, and you have to have a product market fit, and usually product, because product businesses can scale up fast and become attractive to the exit strategy.
Most, what I've said before, is only a fraction of all the small business owners out there, all the small businesses out there, are prospects for venture capital of any kind.
Absolutely.
Only a fraction.
Yeah.
And see, this was my point, Tim, when the offer was made to cut or reduce capital gains for small businesses, and they tried to make it sound like that was a big deal, and I said, it's not a big deal, because almost because most small businesses never have any significant, if any, capital gains. And they said, well, what about the investors? We're going to do this for investors in the small business. I said, that's great for that fraction of small businesses that actually have investors. But if you're talking about capital gains being a big deal to the landscape of small business, it's minuscule.
Funny that you say that. I'm skeptical about the influence of tax policy on whether or not people make business decisions.
Especially, you know, hiring people.
Yes, among other things. But really, I think in business, and this goes back to my running my own business for years, I make my business decisions based on much more business variables than tax
right.
policy.
All tax policy does is change the timing of your decisions.
Because
you're not going to buy a computer just because you get a tax deduction, but if you can expense it right now, if they allow you to expense it instead of depreciate it and put it in service this year, that moves that decision from January to December.
In that case, yes, but say Palo Alto Software is hiring now. We've done some hiring
right.
lately. The timing of our hiring is that tax credit doesn't influence that at all. We
right.
hire people only when we need them, and when we need them, we're going to hire them whether there's a tax credit or not.
And so, but folks might be thinking we're wandering off a little bit, but here's the thing, back to the investor, Tim. Somebody might say, but isn't that going to make this angel investor happy if they have a capital gains? But now we're back to talking about the exit strategy. You're still
yeah.
presuming that because the capital gains doesn't happen until the exit strategy, and who knows 5-8 years from now if that law will still be in effect.
Then the capital gains being less would make me happy when I write a check to be an investor. If it's more, I'm not happy, but I'm going to do it one way or the other.
And you're not going to make a decision based to invest or not to invest based on the capital gains number.
No, I'm not. That's
yeah.
exactly right.
And that was my point all along. All right, so go ahead. Give us some other examples.
Give
us one more quick one. We're going to a break in a second.
I was just going to say, we're looking at 38 companies, and it hurts me to see a number of good companies that are going to be disappointed, but they're absolutely not providing an investment opportunity for investors.
Mm-hmm.
They're just doing good business.
Even if their package is right and their product is right and their strategy is right and ordinarily would be something an investor might want, if the owner is not giving the same exit strategy signals, if the values for that company, the ultimate resolution of that company are not compatible with an investor, they're not going to give you the money, folks. That's just all there is to it. Right back with these messages, after these messages, with our good friend Tim Berry. More on angel investors after this. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with us. Tim Berry is our guest, our good friend, original member of the Brain Trust, now working on 13 years, starting his 13th year with us as a Brain Trust member. What a great record, folks. What a great champion of small business Tim Berry is. And Tim, again, thank you for all you've done for so many millions of people. Folks, millions of people are running their businesses right now successfully because they've got a hold of Tim's business planning capability that his company provides. And that's not a commercial. That's just a fact. And so, Tim, we thank you for that. Bplans.com, I know you like to send us to that because that's where people can get educated on business planning without having to buy anything. And also timberry.com, right?
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Check
yeah.
all those things out, folks. The books are there. The Plan As You Go business plan book is outstanding. It's the best 21st century thing I've seen on business planning. Tim, let's go back to angel investing, and give us the 1, 2, 3 things that people need to have. You said all these companies are not going to get the money that they hope they would because they're not ready. Tell us what it looks like when they're not ready.
The 1, 2, 3 that I see is exit strategies, number one. Number two is credible management team. And number three is product market fit for growth, scalability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a million reasons why they aren't ready. And what's most intriguing to me is you can be a really good business, have an excellent company and still not be a candidate for outside investors.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people don't realize, because I think we teach this poorly in business schools.
Yeah.
Small business, part of the process is finding the investment. Well, often we do the investment ourselves by working hard day after day and growing more slowly.
Well, see, you've told us that over the years. You've told us so many times about, you know, don't take your idea to get funded. I mean, how many times have I run into people who said, yeah, I've got this great idea and I'm looking for funding.
Yeah.
You know what I tell them, Tim? I say, my buddy Tim Berry would tell you you shouldn't be looking for funding. You should be looking for customers.
Yeah, sales is the best financing.
Sales cures all evils.
But there is this small set of companies where I and other members of my investment group feel very good about our chances to make money, and this company's chances, the one we invested in last year, is doing really well.
And what was attractive to you about them?
The combination of exit strategy management and product market fit really is a good way to summarize.
Is that simple then? Those three things. That's
well, those three things aren't simple.
Right, but still, but yeah. I mean, you could literally, if people wanted to, if you got somebody out there right now who's thinking about capital, getting angel capital, and what you've just given them is three sort of vessels to focus on.
Yeah, and if you could, I mean, if you can play in those three areas. That's then something.
Exit strategy, management team. The management team has to be a team that the angel investor thinks can that when you go to the next level, which you've got to be able to demonstrate you can go to the next level, that you got the team to take it there and to manage it once it gets there.
Yeah, credible might mean credible is a nice flexible
right.
attribute, because it could be a lot of experience, it could be a lot of success, it could be
yeah.
having learned through failure, it could be even education. You know, there's different ways to get credible, but credible matters a lot.
And the third thing is the product market opportunity. You got to have a product that can go the distance. You got to have
yeah,
a market strategy that can go the distance.
You got to be able to grow. For example, there's a lot of really good service companies that can't grow fast enough to be
right.
attracted to investors. And down at the bottom, I mean, those three things fit. But think about this: it's a business plan. Fit, really. This is where we go back to the business plan. The business plan dictates how much money you really need
mm-hmm.
to be able to grow well. And that's where things start to come together, because if your plan requires outside investment and you have a deal that's attractive to investors,
right.
then suddenly this makes a lot of sense, and it's great for generating new business.
How big a deal is it to have a specific plan that you build your approach around, but also to demonstrate that you're flexible if you find that doesn't work. I got 30 seconds.
Investors do look for the whites of the eyes of the entrepreneurs, and the words flexible and coachable come up a lot.
Yeah,
because this is the real world.
You can't be namby-pamby. You got to know what you want, but you also got to say, okay, we'll move over if we have to, and this is our plan for that.
You have to live with change.
Yeah, exactly. And lead. You got to lead change. Hey,
yeah.
Tim, thanks for being here. Good job again today, as always.
Thank you, Jim.
Tim Berry, ladies and gentlemen. What would we do without Tim? We always get smarter when Tim joins us. That's timberry.com. Don't forget to check that out. And bplans.com, too, if you want to get smarter about business planning. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.